Time now to meet At The Stage Door, your weekly recap on all things theatre here in Taranaki. Thanks to the wonderful team at BC Media. Let's meet now at the stage door.
No mai, haere mai, arts lovers, and welcome to the stage door. I'm your host, Tara Nudica, and I'm here to take you behind the spotlight to meet the actors, directors, writers, technicians, and creatives who bring performing arts in Taranaki to life. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have the creative genius behind Improv Taranaki, the lovely Phil Spear. Welcome, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Taryn. Morena.
It is lovely to have you here. Very cool to have you in our studios doing a bit of improv on the mic, I guess.
Yeah. I think everything's improv, right?
It is indeed. Now, I've been following your journey for a little while, so I know who you are. But for people out there who may not know who Phil Spear is, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, that's a very open-ended one.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm an improv theatre maker. So everything that I do is based in improvisation. And I've been improvising since about, I think it was 2018 that I started. That was in Auckland. And I got hooked into improv. And I was performing most weekends for a couple of years there, at least.
Wow.
Circumstances changed, and I've been moving around the North Island since starting kind of improv communities. Did so in Rotorua before coming here, and started Improv Taranaki about 4 years ago. I think it's about 4 years. My timing's a little bit out now, but yeah, and building improvised shows is kind of my passion.
Mm.
Yeah.
And as part of Improv Taranaki, not only do you do amazing shows, but you also offer classes and workshops and lots of other interesting things that people can get involved with, don't you?
Yeah. It's I think, you know, the first thing, like, I arrived here and, you know, there was nothing really happening. So it was, you know, the idea is, okay, well, improv's a team sport.
Yes,
you can't.
Is.
I mean, okay, there are people who do improvise like solos, but, you know, like many things, it's more fun when you've got other people to play with. So, you know, I found a few people who would be interested in doing something and started teaching.
Yes.
Building my teaching skills, it's quite a different step from when you've been performing it for a while to then stepping into the role of teacher. Okay, I know some things. I've got to, you know, pass this on. And my teaching practice has just kind of grown and grown, and it's been quite a few years now. I think I'm into my sixth year of teaching improv now.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just building those levels up so that, you know, improv is not just walking onto a stage with no training.
Yeah.
And making things up, because that's bound to fall flat.
Yeah.
There are many agreements and kind of guidelines that we go in with to hopefully, you know, produce a successful product 90% of the time, I'd say.
Yeah.
So classes are a huge part of it, of Improv Taranaki. We also have an 8 to 12s class as well for little ones. I think it's really important that young people are playing and improvising.
Yes.
And building that confidence, especially before they hit those gnarly teen years where the self-judgment starts to kick in. That's one of the things that we are really hot on, is like, you know, we don't really judge our ideas or others' ideas.
Oh, that's lovely. And so that got me kind of thinking about, there's this kind of idea of what improv is, and perhaps it's, you know, that whose line is it anyway kind of idea of improv.
Mm.
But when you talk about improv, you often talk about play and connection and confidence and life skills before you talk about comedy. So is improv actually a kind of personal development tool disguised as theatre?
That's a tricky one to answer. I would say there's different ways of looking at it. I actually believe that it's a, you know, its own kind of, as an art form itself, it's absolutely valid to just pursue that for creative pursuit and to put that on stage. At the same time, it can be quite a therapeutic tool and process. And so that there is a ton of personal development in it, even if you're not doing it for the personal development.
Ah, nice.
You know, so, yeah, it's everything, I already said, everything is improv. Life is improv. We get born and then we get... So you mentioned Whose Line Is It Anyway with the games. I confess I haven't watched a lot of Whose Line Is It Anyway. I'm not that familiar with the show. But the idea that's a good template for people who are familiar is that they come into this and there's games that they play and they either succeed or fail at those games. It's just like life. We come into life and then there are these games and structures around us. Getting a job, a house, like all these games we sort of impose on ourselves. The game of life, relationships often turn gamey. There's a book called Games People Play about the psychological games that we put ourselves in relationships with other people and life itself. And then even like you think things like sports. Again, like football, right? Like you've got two goals at one end. You've got all these rules and things that you put on yourself. It's the same as a theatre game, an improv. Like we might play a game, say the alphabet game, where two players have to start every line of dialogue with the next letter of the alphabet.
Oh, my gosh.
Until you go through all 26 letters. It's just a game. It's like the other games we always play. So I've just rambled on and probably not answered.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. Yeah. I think you've spoken really well to the fact that improv isn't just something fun to do. There's things underneath it that really help humans, help us create connections, help us with storytelling. And yes, it's fun too, but there's some deeper things in there as well that are good for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, as you say, Whose Line is like one of the primary touchstones for people, and that was a very comedic-based show. Mm. But improvisation does not have to be comedic, just like life. There is theatrical comedy. The reason it really kind of gets pegged as comedy is because with the games that generally get played and when you put the restrictions in, it encourages mistakes. And we view mistakes as good things.
Ah, yes.
And the mistakes often cause the laughter. It's or seeing us struggle against the rules of the game, against the boundaries. So when we start making mistakes, the comedy comes. And part of it is being comfortable enough in yourself that when you make those mistakes, you are going to take them in a humble kind of manner.
Yeah.
Not cursing yourself and judging yourself for making a mistake.
Oh, that's
and then we
phenomenal.
Support each other.
Yes, and that's such a good skill to have. I think as humans, we spend a lot of our life like striving or being told that we need to be perfect or the best at something, and mistakes are flaws, and learning to live with mistakes and make something from them and grow from them and support each other through them, that's a massive life lesson.
The mistakes are really where the good stuff comes in life generally. How many mistakes have people made where they thought it was a mistake at the time and then it turned out to be the best thing for them?
Yes.
Happens all the time.
It does.
Yeah, we encourage it.
Nice. So you were speaking before about when you first started doing improv. Can you tell us where that was and how it felt? And did you immediately know, oh, this is going to change my life?
So I started at the Covert Theatre, which is a theatre company in Auckland.
Yeah.
At the time, there was no physical premises.
Oh, cool.
They ended up building their own theatre. Wonderful guy, Wade Jackson, who runs the Covert Theatre, he went all in and built a physical location in Ponsonby, which opened in March 2020, around the same time that some other things happened in the world.
Timing.
And it has prevailed. It has stuck it out through a time where they couldn't have audiences.
Oh my gosh.
And they've prevailed. And so it is in Ponsonby. Do check it out if you're ever in Auckland.
Yes.
It's improvised shows, usually I think a Thursday through to Saturday night most weeks.
Oh.
And pretty much all improv in this one theatre space.
That's incredible.
Yeah, a huge range of different shows. And so that's where I started. So Wade Jackson and the Improv Bandits, one of New Zealand's longest running improv troupes were my initial teachers. And so I signed up out of the blue because I wanted to find tools to help young people gain confidence. I was a youth worker at the time, and I'd read about improv and the powers of improv for that. So I thought I should try this before I try to teach it. Signed up to a course that started a few days later and ended up there thinking, I've really gone in over my head. And the first class, I really caught the bug. It was just, I think I did know at that point that this was a life-changing thing. I never really planned to ever be on a stage performing improv. But at the end of the 10 weeks, I was asked to come back to a second level one that led to a show, which was in the New Zealand International Comedy Festival.
Oh my gosh.
In 2019, which, was a wonderful experience.
That's amazing. To go from that little, like, oh, I'm going to learn about this so I can help someone else, to being like, whoa, this is, it's becoming my life's passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do see it filter through all parts of life because there are so many things about that improv mindset that, that change how you interact with the world. A lot of it is about presence, being in the moment, being with the person you're with, not thinking about the past, the future. What am I making for dinner tonight? The sheets aren't cleaned. All of these things, we're dropping that and we're being really here and now with the person in front of us.
I feel like that's such a skill in today's world. We are so busy and we live in a state of noise, you know. It's always connected on phones or screens, or everything is after our attention. So to be able to help people discover that skill is really important.
Well, it's an act of mindfulness. If you think about these kind of Zen Buddhist meditation traditions, it is mindfulness. You have to be here now. And I've heard people refer to this as active mindfulness because it's social. We're with another person. We're not just in a silo, you know. Obviously, regular mindfulness practice a lot of the time,
it's like yourself,
you go by yourself to a retreated space and maybe, I don't know, sit on a cushion and pay attention to the sounds around me or the sensations in my skin, all of these things. This is on a stage, often in front of an audience with one or more scene partners. And it's the same thing. I need to be here right now. I need to have open awareness. I can't be stuck in my head. If I'm thinking in my head, you know, part of it is that the brain, if we're thinking, the act of thinking takes up a lot of, if we compare the brain to a computer, I know it's not, it takes up processing power.
Mm-hmm.
And if our minds are churning away and processing, it means we are missing other stuff around us. We won't know it. We would think we're taking everything in, but because we're thinking about what my boss said to me earlier in the day or whatever, it's taking so much focus away. So this is very similar. It's being right here, right now, and if I'm in my head, I'm gonna miss an offer is the word, the terminology we use.
Yes. So then, is it, because I often, because I'm an introvert, and I often think getting up on stage without being prepared is hugely difficult and probably something I couldn't do well. Is that your experience? Like, if people can hook into being in the moment, does it matter that they might be more shy or traditionally quieter?
Yeah, not at all. I think improv probably attracts a lot of quieter people. A lot of introverts come to improv.
That's fascinating.
I don't know why, and I won't even try to theorize as to why. I think you'd find there's a high correlation of introverts coming to it.
Wow, that's so interesting. It's a bit like journalism. 70% of journalists are introverts, which is surprising because you have to talk to people all the time.
It's a great thing for introverts, and you know, I see people change
throughout. You know, like I'm currently teaching a foundations course at the moment, and you see the change. I think we're in about week six now, and like I've already seen changes in many of my students.
Wow.
Even in 6 weeks,
and that's amazing.
Like, yeah, that's such a short time. That's 12 hours of classes, and I've already seen changes in some of them at least. Yeah, as time goes on, you know, the confidence you build through, you know, there's so many different things we're training. There is stuff around portraying characters. So how do you portray a character who is high status? For example, who commands a room.
Yes.
if you learn how to portray a character who does that, maybe there's things that you could take into life outside around that.
Right,
You might be learning to express emotion as well, because like often we are closeting our emotions every day, and we don't really get to fully let emotion out. And so... I often see people, I can relate to that myself, as I became more in touch with my emotional states.
Wow.
There are so many other things. We have, there's another beautiful saying in improv is, we always make our partners look good. We always try to make our partner look good. And so that applies in workplaces, right?
Yes. You
make your teammates look good. We don't like... We don't step on each other to get ahead.
That's right.
You know, relationships, personal relationships, do for your partner, make your partner look good. Do what you can. You know, sometimes that's just a supporting move. Maybe it's like, they've got a busy day, I'm going to make them dinner. I'm going to do what I can to prop them up and make them look great. So there's all these different, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, amazing little life lessons that come through there.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the difference, because you work with children as well as with adults, have you noticed a difference in how improv impacts people?
From practicing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do children, are they naturally in that state of being open beings and more comfortable with improv? Like, what's your insight?
There's a quote from Keith Johnston, who's one of the improv pioneers, UK-based, he was Canada-based eventually, and he says that we often think of adults as, children as immature adults. I'm absolutely fluffing his lines here.
Just improv your way through it.
Yeah. Basically, we should think of adults as atrophied children.
Oh, I love that.
We've been cut off from it. Children are in that state of wonder, of play, of finding connections. Their imaginations, their creative muscles are strong.
Aren't they?
And then society and our structures and what we do to them is all about driving it out of them.
So that we can make money out of them in the corporate
world. Yeah, make them more like us. Make them all the same. And, it's really about getting that sense back. And it's not that we are, childlike. That is our natural state, and it should be our natural state as adults. It's play for adults is not encouraged enough in society. It's not valued, but it needs to be. It's absolutely important. The moment you stop playing is the moment you start dying.
Gosh, that's so true. Good for your mental health too, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Play. Again, on so many levels, there's the social aspect of it, of being in a place with people. There's something that comes from the vulnerability of sharing yourself and sharing your ideas, your spontaneity in front of other people, and with that vulnerability, there's a lot of growth that comes out of it as people accept that, we teach towards that, and we build this beautiful positive kaupapa.
That's lovely.
The team,
Now, you have, I think it's fair to say, you fell in love with improv and fell down this beautiful rabbit hole, and you've learnt from some of the greats of the improv world. In fact, you've travelled the world a bit with improv. Can you tell us about your journey and who you've learnt from and who's inspired you?
Yeah, a little bit. Funnily enough, a lot of the names in improv are kind of famous in the improv world, but they're not really, you know, they're not going to be household names to anyone else. But yeah, like there's been the Covert Theatre especially bring in some incredible improvisers from around the world. They have festivals where they'll bring in top class teachers. So one of the guys, Joe Bill, is recognized as one of the very best teachers and improvisers in the world. He's been doing it 48 years from Chicago, which is kind of the birthplace of improv. Or of a lot of modern improv, at least. There's Patty Stiles, who was a direct. She learned from Keith Johnston, who I mentioned earlier. She is a Canadian teacher, and she absolutely wonderful improviser, treasure trove of knowledge. There's, yeah, I travelled around to festivals around the world in the last couple of years, and there's a lot of, you know, younger generation pioneers now who are just incredible. I went to the Flock Theatre in Amsterdam. You know, these are tiny little theatres, but just incredible, incredible work happening out of them. And this was an incredible festival that they ran with, yeah, just teachers from all over the world.
Gosh, coming in, amazing.
To learn skills. It's, yeah, it's a very unique kind of ecosystem.
Yes.
And there's just always more to learn.
Yeah. Speaking of more to learn, I know that there is there's worth and value in improv in corporate spaces as well for team building. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, a lot of the things I've already talked about today are, yes, you know, a lot of those lessons and things do come through. So yeah, I've increasingly started to be looking at working in spaces with teams and businesses and organizations to kind of, hey, look, a lot of it is around your culture within your teams. Because what I'm saying is, we have, you know, I'll take a group of, you know, say 10 improvisers who don't know each other particularly well other than practicing this together, take them on stage in front of a paying audience. None of them know what they're going to be doing that night, but you've got expectation from an audience, right? How much pressure does that create? So we've got a pressure situation. People who don't know each other massively well, how do they work together to deliver a consistent product night after night? You know, that's the, these are the kind of things that a lot of businesses would love to be able to tap into.
Absolutely.
There's so many agreements we that we have, you know. A lot of it starts with building psychological safety within a team.
Wow.
You have to have a team that trusts each other and understands each other. And, you know, going beyond these, you know, I'll be rubbishing them a little bit, but personality tests.
Like,
I kind of start from the assumption that we know that everyone's different. Like, a Myers-Briggs isn't telling us anything new.
Yeah.
And it's also a label. Like, a Myers-Briggs
is
not
true.
Who you are. Yeah. You can grow. You can change.
You can change.
Often they find that some of the studies around personality tests is it tells you that once you have a label, you just, you fix into it. It doesn't help you change.
That's
at
interesting.
All. So I'm starting from the assumption that we know we're different. So how do we work together? Rather than, yeah, going through the whole assessment of us being different. Obviously, with improv, it's all about innovation and creativity. Like, what do you need to have a truly innovative culture? A lot of it all comes back to that psychological safety and trust, but that tolerance of mistakes within a workplace. How does it actually look, though, in different workplaces is the interesting thing. And there's so many other skills that I think are relevant to different organizations. Talked a little bit about when you portray a high-status character, body language and presence for leaders is another thing that I can help with.
That's amazing.
Storytelling.
Storytelling, that's what makes us human.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's another thing, you know, if we're going to put stories on stage for people, for paying audiences, we have to know some of the principles of storytelling. How do you engage people with storytelling? So there's so
many different
ways.
And that works for businesses in so many different ways as well, because businesses need to engage their customers and their markets, you know. The storytelling is a huge part of that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's just in advertising, but even the stories that they have within their organizations. Like, like, what purpose is there for staff to be at your workplace? Like, yeah. What are the stories you tell about your mission, your kaupapa? Do people believe them? You know, there's a whole lot around that as well. So I think every organization will have different needs with this kind of stuff, but there are so many lessons that you can take from improv to improve efficiency and team culture within your organization.
That's amazing. I love that it's a theater tool that, you know, I love that it is something that could be seen as something that just theater kids do. That's actually really helpful for kids, for adults, for communities, for businesses. That's amazing.
There's so much in it, so much like that. It's just goes beyond the same old tired kind of team trainings and stuff
that we've all done before.
I'm sure you've been through. I've been through and I know
so many times.
And then you get over the training and it's like, okay, we'll just go back to normal tomorrow.
Exactly. Hey, we've got a couple of minutes left here, so can you tell us any upcoming shows that you've got coming on, upcoming workshops, and how people get in touch if they're interested in joining any of this or using your services for their business?
Yeah, sure. I'll start with that because I've talked a little bit about that. If you're interested in doing some stuff around businesses, organizations, teams you work with, you can look me up on philspear.com. That's Phil with two L's, PHILLSPEAR, like the throwing spear.com. And you can contact me through there. Shows, we have a couple of shows coming up, which the name of the show is Quick Draw. This show, amongst many of the different shows we do, this is the one that is the most similar to Whose Line Is It Anyway, where we are taking a whole bunch of improvisers, putting them on stage. They are going to play the games and they battle it out. So we eliminate them through the night. The audience choose who gets cut.
I love it.
We rate every scene. And only one will survive the night. It's such a fun thing to get behind, you know, your favorite improviser and cheer them on and watch them be slaughtered.
Take down the reigning champion.
so it's kind of a fun competition format. So that's coming up on the 20th of June, Saturday, $15 at the New Plymouth Little Theatre. Tickets are on Eventfinder. And we do have another one of that coming up on Friday, the 17th of July.
Awesome.
Don't believe the ticketing is out at the time we're recording this anyway. And we will do another foundations workshop probably at the beginning of 2027.
Excellent. Sign me up. I'm there.
Find out more about us at improvtaranaki.com, improvtaranaki on both the socials, you know, Facebook, Insta. So you can just follow along to see what we're doing.
Awesome. I'm sure people will be flocking because it's an amazing thing that you're doing. I love your mahi and I love what it does for the community. And thank you for being with us today, because that brings us to the end of our show. I could have spoken to you for hours, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Taryn. Much appreciated.
So that's our cue to exit stage left. Thank you for joining me here at The Stage Door, proudly brought to you by Be Seen Media. Until next time, keep celebrating the stories, the talent, and the magic of live performance. Mā te wā whānau.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.